This is Mae Brussel, the second half of broadcast number 784, and some more interesting news along with the fascist connections. The coup and the fascist connections are the things that really are fascinating about this case. There's a story in the news this week. Bush aide, this is his top aide in the National Security Council, Donald P. Gregg, G-R-E-G-G, Bush aide to give accounting of meetings over Contra aid. And many of you read almost from the time Mr. Hassenfuss went down in Nicaragua that Bush's aide, the assistant to the vice president on the national security, was in contact with a former CIA associate, Felix Rodriguez, with whom he gave introductions where he would get a job as an advisor to the Air Force of El Salvador on anti-guerrilla tactics. Now, Mr. Rodriguez is not described in the AP wire service as using the name Mr. Gomez, but Gomez, again, is the man who wears the watch band, who, along with special forces and the Bolivian police and the CIA, and again, our national security clique, killed Che Guevara in Bolivia. And they worked closely with Nazi war criminal Klaus Barbie and the Bolivian police. And I do want to get on the air as soon as possible the story of the murder of Che Guevara and the people behind the murder. And this Mr. Rodriguez-Gomez that Bush was referring to or speaking to, a former CIA man who's running the activities down there with the likes of Hassenfuss and Mr. Sawyer and Cooper, those two late deceased gentlemen that were on the airplane over Nicaragua. This story gets closer and closer through Donald Reagan, George Bush, and the powers that be in Washington right now to Nazi war criminal Klaus Barbie, the Bolivian police, the cocaine drug connections. And they don't bother to explain the role of somebody like Rodriguez working with Klaus Barbie. And it gets into the heroin connections, the international fascista. So his aide from the National Security, Donald P. Gregg, who used to be in the CIA, is testifying currently about his relationship with Rodriguez. But the story of Rodriguez is very, very silent. This one article said, Bush aides previously said that all contacts between the vice president's office and Rodriguez dealt with El Salvador, not Nicaragua. In interviews with the New York Times and the Washington Post, Gregg said that after receiving a telephone call from Rodriguez-Gomez about Contra aid, he set up a meeting for Rodriguez with the CIA, the Pentagon, the State Department officials around August the 12th. So Mr. Gomez-Rodriguez meets with the Pentagon, the CIA, and the State Department, the fellow who not only killed Che Guevara and brags about it, along with another team, and it was not a nice murder. We'll go into the details of that so you can see how these freedom fighters operate. But he works directly with and connected to Klaus Barbie in Bolivia, because Barbie was part and parcel of that murder, along with our intelligence community. So those are the freedom fighters that are going into the State Department, the CIA, and the Pentagon. And pretty soon they'll be in the United States and the chickens will come home to roost if we don't smoke these people out. And that's very difficult, of course. There's a brief story in the paper today. North advised Contra fundraiser. Contra is what he advised, what we'll call it, the Contras. Carl Russell Spitz Chanel, and you've read the articles, who has a multi-million dollar advertising or public relations office that swung the votes in the Congress to get $100 million for the Contras. Now, NBC National News, that's the large wire services at 5:30 our Pacific time, last Friday on December the 10th, it was talking about the subject of missing Iranian funds. And this is one of the biggest scandals of this entire story that's coming out, because illegally breaking an arms embargo and sending weapons to Iran, which can't be justified, is bad. Using military assistance and money out of the National Security Council on down to our generals and admirals to the Contras when it wasn't allowed against that those votes is bad. But trying to overthrow and successfully putting in an eventual Congress, it'll be typical of Hitler's Germany in 1933, where then the Fuhrer can get everything he wants. Lieutenant Colonel North is now linked to affecting the American electoral process through his speeches, through his arrangements, interviews, and funds, possible funds, millions of dollars that were supposed to go to the Contras or pay a debt back in Canada, were being used for 1986 elections. Getting back to the NBC National News, 5:30, December the 10th, they were talking about the missing funds and about $12 million that was paid back to the United States. But other money was siphoned off, and the question was, who controlled it and where did it go? And then the newscast said the Lieutenant Colonel North had a point man in the White House who directed campaigns against politicians affecting the USA. There were advisors, public relations men, advising on campaigns, GOP critics. They interfered with local campaigns, political campaigns, against candidates who opposed the Contra, and also, I heard on the radio, against candidates who opposed the Star Wars. North gave information to advertising campaigns out of the National Security Council. He interfered with political candidates. He directed the Contras with funds from an organization called National Endowment for Preservation of Liberty under a gentleman named Carl Spence, who spent about $300,000 for TV ads, and under Robert Goodman, who arranged ads for the conservative foundations, $1 million into speech funds and star attractions, and one of those persons who was defeated in the primary, who was targeted because of his anti-Contra feelings, was Representative Michael Barnes of Maryland. He was a target of these campaigns, and the money went to Mr. Chanel, who works closely with Lieutenant Colonel Oliver North, and Chanel funds millions of dollars. He has millions of dollars to put into organizations that affect politics. Now, that was the 5:30 news on Friday. At 10 o'clock at night, NBC News, but this time the local news, not the whole national news, there was a commentator there, Evan White, and it was regarding, again, the domestic elections and Lieutenant Colonel Oliver North. And they went on to say, or he went on to say, that they were using profit from Iranian sales for inside the United States, or were possibly diverting it to politics because hundreds of millions were being used in 1986 elections. And Mr. White said, the funds went to a company called the National Endowment for the Preservation of Liberty, which is what they had on the NBC Nightly News at 5:30. But then he went on to say, this represents a diversion of profits from arms sales. It points to the diversion for domestic purposes. They made TV commercials. They spent $3.5 million on that. The movies were produced by National Endowment for Preservation of Liberty, whose offices are shared in the same building with Western Goals in Virginia. And at that point, I could understand the whole view of Colonel Oliver North and John Singlaub, because I've done many programs on the connections of Singlaub to hit all these bases like the Knights of Malta and Western Goals. But Western Goals is a whole new ball game, and I understand, I heard today, and I have to get the name, that Lieutenant Colonel Oliver North's father-in-law is on the board of directors for Western Goals. Now, and again, at the noon news today, I heard, this is December 15th, I heard about a denial on the part of the people from the National Endowment for the National Endowment for Preservation of Liberty. I called information in Maryland to get the address of that organization. That has to just be a pure CIA front. It has no address, but NBC said it was the same as Western Goals. Now, last week, I did broadcasts on the links of Korean Airline carrying arms to Iran, checking them out of used aircraft, the story of that. And I've done a lot of work on Western Goals. I started in January of 1983 with a large lawsuit in Los Angeles of about 48 plaintiffs against the Los Angeles Police Department for having computers to keep information about law-abiding citizens in those computers. And most of it was collected during the time period when Ronald Reagan was governor and Edwin Meese was his legal assistant. So I believe that the team of Edward Teller on Western Goals and there's Mr. Wigner of the Atomic Energy, who built the atomic bombs with Einstein. He was one of the inventors of the atomic bombs in the United States. Roger Milliken, who's a partner of J. Peter Grace, and Grace is very close to the Chief of Staff, Donald Reagan. I talked about that a few weeks ago. General George Patton III, the son of the general who wanted to continue through Germany right into the Soviet Union. Dr. Hans Senholz is on the board. He's a pilot for Adolf Hitler in the Luftwaffe, and Dan Smoot, the FBI agent in Dallas. Far, far right, Mrs. Helen Marie Taylor, who Ronald Reagan nominated for a position a few weeks ago and was turned down. Dr. Edward Teller of Star Wars. And this cast of characters of single out with the Contras and Teller of Star Wars, and then these organizations sharing the same building, is it makes sense because they want to get candidates who would support Star Wars and who would fund the Contras. And so it was very important to fund through these organizations. And as I say, they share the same offices. Now, that kind of reminds me of the time when the storybook of Banco Ambrosiano and the office of Stiebaum was in the same building as Banco Ambrosiano in Italy. And the connection between mutual offices, I thought Lee Harvey Oswald in New Orleans and on Camp Street, and his relationship to Guy Bannister of the FBI and CIA, 554 Camp Street, where the Fair Play for Cuba was, that Lee Harvey Oswald was the only member in all of New Orleans handing out handbills, backed up to 531 Lafayette Street, where Guy Bannister worked for the FBI, the CIA, the Cuban Democratic Revolutionary Front, and he ran the Caribbean Anti-Communist League. Now, there isn't much difference between those people that I've talked about for many years on different broadcasts and what is happening now, because John Singlaub and Richard Secord and Edwin Wilson and Mr. Hakim and the whole crew of them that are involved in this Contragate story were involved in the Bay of Pigs operation, periphery and part of the Kennedy assassination, then on to Vietnam. So this team that started when Eisenhower was president, Richard Nixon as vice president, hasn't really changed. As a matter of fact, President Eisenhower, through a directive of the National Security Council, said that the military could be handing out anti-communist literature as part of the Cold War, and that was General Walker's defense when he was brought home from Germany, that he said he wasn't doing the wrong thing because the National Security Council told him to go for it over there. So the National Security has been giving directives for a long time, and the team that are here now are professionals. They may get a few young ones that you don't know, like North as a friend, who has the power to be above William Casey in the CIA. So, and I think of, again, the offices of Western Goals, if this is true, in the same place as the National Endowment for Preservation of Liberty. If Lieutenant Colonel North's father-in-law is on the board of Western Goals, as I say, I just heard that today. I have to check that out. I don't put many rumors on, but it came from somebody who has a lot of information and good sources and a well-known writer. So I'm just mentioning it to you now. So the sharing of those offices in Virginia is identical to Stiebaum, and Stiebaum and Banco Ambrosiano aren't separate from our Donald Reagan, the chief of staff in the White House, and William Casey, who tap right into that till. So what they're doing now is what they've been doing for a long time. The only difference is that they're more visible. The San Jose Mercury had a story this past week on North linked to the Contra Media Blitz, and it tells about this Carl Chanel, C-H-N-N-E-L-L, who had a multi-million dollar campaign in 1986 to affect the elections of specific people and target them. That's when Mullen Associates was in Washington, D.C., with E. Howard Hunt and Frank Sturgis, again, all of them from the Bay of Pigs, and working with Theodore Shackley and Thomas Kleins. This same group have worked together ever since John Kennedy was murdered and took over the operations in Southeast Asia, and now want to take Central America and the United States as their last battleground where they can come home and overthrow this country. The lobbying campaign was tremendous, millions of dollars, and Chanel, he was former member of the National Conservative Political Action Committee, and he claims he spent $7 million for TV spots to break 13 to 15 persons, and he worked with a man named Richard Miller, who used to formerly be one of the high officials of AID, Agency for International Development. And AID is a great CIA front that comes in after disasters and earthquakes and floods, and rebuilds countries, and then sets its agencies and spies at the time of famine and so forth. Their aiding is helping the American corporations. AID is to help Wall Street control these countries. And the connection of the funnel of money to the politics of 1986 is just really beginning to break. That is the most scandalous thing, and I think that Representative Michael Barnes should ask for a new election in Maryland based upon the fact that these millions of dollars were spent as a propaganda tool that may not, in fact, represent his real intentions or what he thinks about Castro or the Contras. He's against aiding the Contras, but he may have an intelligent reason why, and these people like bulldogs just tearing everything down and affecting our minds. And one of the things that Admiral Poindexter bragged about was his Department of Disinformation. And so, but with this information, you get votes that are based not upon facts, but propaganda. Now, there's some very serious people being lost to these cases. This always follows. And I want to mention a few of them, just run them off. Some I'll do more detail later, next week or so forth, but begin to add up some of these scenes. An important witness was found dead in Brooklyn just recently, December the 3rd. This came over the wire service in the New York Times. December 3rd, 1986, a defendant in the Pizza Connection drug trial who was reported missing was found in a plastic bag behind the garbage in Brooklyn. Gaetano Mazzara of New Jersey. He was out on $1.5 million bail. He's a defendant in that huge mafia ring that distributes drugs and launders money. And one of the places they laundered through was Merrill Lynch, and this is in the court records and crime reports in 1980, just before he became Secretary of the Treasury, Donald Reagan. The profits from this pizza money went into his organization, a good hunk of them. Mr. Mazzara was standing trial with other defendants. He was a primary witness or a person to be judged as either guilty or innocent, but he was gunned down. And it's a very important thing because that trial does link to E.F. Hutton and to the White House. And E.F. Hutton, now I understand, has been taken over by Merrill Lynch, which is Henry Kissinger's firm, the Shearson, Lehman, American Express, and so forth. So that a primary witness in that case that links to the current director, the chief of staff in the White House. That person was sledgehammered on the head this past week. Then you saw another article, key witness in Contra arms case found dead. A key federal witness in a government investigation of the Nicaragua Contra movement was found dead Saturday. An apparent overdose, no foul play immediately, of course. Stephen Carr, now his name, it is not a household word on the West Coast, but Ted Rubenstein has been sending newspapers or cutting them. He doesn't send them. He reads the newspapers and shares them with me and with David. And so we put them on the air, David Emery and NipTech, and he's very generous in giving us facts about these drug trials particularly. And this has to do with a witness who had claimed that drugs from Nicaragua were coming into the United States, and he actually is a primary witness in the investigation of arms trafficking from Florida, the Nicaragua Contra rebels. And this is the Christic Institute, I've mentioned, has a lawsuit, multi-million-dollar lawsuit, coming up with a murder, attempted murder, gun running, and narcotics traffic by the Contras that's taking place out of El Salvador on a farm that I've mentioned for the last few weeks that has direct links to the National Security Council. And Carr is a very important person. He was released from Naples, Florida last month. He served time for a probation violation. He wasn't protected. He was about to participate in some more hearings. There's a major trial coming up, and he was killed in Los Angeles, which is a good place because the coroners there work very closely with the police teams, and it's hard to effect a real good, honest autopsy in the city of Los Angeles. There are so many unanswered questions to murders, assassinations in Los Angeles, probably in other cities, but it's more prominent there, the people that get killed there. There's an article that came out in the B'nai Messenger called Skullduggery in Arms Deal, and this was November 21st. It said the disclosure of Reagan administration recently that it approved covert shipments to Iran has a lot of effect on a prosecution of 17 defendants, 4 Israelis, one of them's a general, charged with sending arms to Iran. And this is a very, very important case because the attorney to Mr. Khashoggi, who's sending arms for Ronald Reagan, his attorney was arrested for sending to Iran, doing just exactly the same things we're doing. One of them is Sam Evans. And this is the case that involves Mr. Cutter at Dash Sishola. He works with the Mafia. He works with the intelligence community. He's going to Iran with Khashoggi. He's a very, very important person, this Mr. Cutter. And in this case, they also said that they thought the deal was approved by George Bush. His name comes up in the records and trials. And one of the main witnesses to this case is Cyrus Hashemi, who died in London last July. And William Kunstler has asked for him to be exhumed. They said he had been cremated in London, and it turned out he's buried in New Jersey. And Hashemi was murdered in July, and that case is cooking now and is very important, tied into all the convoluted aspects of this particular place. Also involved with that trial, there's an article in the LA Times, and a person who was arrested, his name is Mr. Minardos, M-I-N-A-R-D-O-S, 54, of Beverly, he's from Beverly Hills, California, 54 years old, and he's one of 13 accused of plotting to ship $2 billion worth of arms to Iran. And he's asking for the ambassador to Italy, Mr. Robb, to speak at his trial because he claims that they worked with or had permission from the ambassador of Italy. And again, the various people involved in this case have brought up that name over and over again. And he's very close to the insiders of the intelligence community, and they want him to testify, Ambassador Maxwell Robb from Italy. And also there's stories about Mr. Craxi, the Prime Minister of Italy, who was involved with the P2, shipping arms to Iran along with Ronald Reagan. And this LA Times article said Cyrus Hashemi, who died reportedly of leukemia, but the story, according to his brother, is that he was murdered. And also Ted Rubenstein got us an article from the London Observer. I take the London Sunday Times, called Mystery Death of a U.S. Fixer, and it's about Dr. Cyrus Hashemi, described as the largest arms conspiracy trial in American history. He was involved in that. And his brother has said, his brother Muhammad Ali Hashemi has said, I know my brother was murdered, and he will search all over the world for him. That there are a lot of people that wanted him dead because of the work he was doing. And so there have been many articles about Hashemi. So those are just three particular people that were murdered. Then the LA Times has this fascinating account, and I do want to get into that. Roy Furmark, the fellow that was literally blackmailing Casey, give me the money or I'm going to talk and sue. The LA Times had an article this week about the background of Furmark. I mean, really, one of these 007 sagas, and with details of his crazy connections in life. And William Casey, the CIA director, is also his attorney. And it tells how he was in the oil and gas business, and he was in trouble in 1982, 83, or 84 with the largest bankruptcy of its kind in Canada, about $50 million. And the article says the court records show that Furmark was also a ranking officer in several other companies owned by John M. Shaheen, a flamboyant New York financier and oil man who died November 1985. This is just before the beginning of this tumultuous 1986 year. Shaheen worked with Casey in World War II in the offices of Strategic Service, and when he got tangled with Mr. Furmark in this very expensive deal, they were partners, Shaheen, Furmark, and three other individuals, and they were sued by three companies for more than $51 million. He conveniently died. So I guess it would be interesting to get the obituaries or the cause of death or age of a man tied into the Iranian arm deals and Mr. Furmark, who's going to blackmail the president of the United States and the CIA director. Then this article continues that they also worked, Mr. Furmark and the late Mr. Shaheen of the OSS and CIA, also worked in 1985 in an Iran venture that held a minority interest in Bayway, a Panamanian corporation formed in 1985 by Khashoggi and the late Cyrus Hashemi. Hashemi, an Iranian arms dealer who died last summer, had been a federal informant in a major U.S. Customs Service undercover sting. But Hashemi worked with Khashoggi, Khashoggi's attorney Samuel Evans, who had been arrested with Hashemi. And the point is that this Mr. Shaheen is a partner, a business partner of the late Shaheen, is a partner of Furmark. William Casey of the CIA was the attorney for Furmark and this gang. Shaheen was in the OSS with Casey. So the conduit of money and the money tree and the spies and the Panamanian banks and Swiss banks goes way back a long, long way, and primary witnesses such as Shaheen and Hashemi can conveniently be offed among a lot of the others. Now, another story, this was August the 7th of this year. National Security Council shifts foretell a row over new view of Soviets. This is from the Washington Times. Jeremiah O'Leary, the CIA specialist from the Washington Times, and he's telling about conflicts in the National Security Council and how they're having a fight because the moderates towards the Soviet Union are going to be moved out. And it tells about Special Assistant to the President Jack Matlock, M-A-T-L-O-C-K, the Senior Director for Soviet and Eastern European Affairs on the NSC, is going to be replaced next month by Edward Djerian, White House spokesman. The move is expected to set off a major power struggle between hardline conservatives and pragmatists within the administration as more conservative elements watch closely where Mr. Matlock ends after he's fired. He's 56 years old. He's an expert on the Soviet Union, former chargé d'affaires at the U.S. Embassy in Moscow, highly regarded in the Reagan administration, and so forth, but they want to get in hardliners. Then it says there's speculation that Mr. Matlock may be on the list of candidates temporarily to take over the job of ailing Deputy National Security Advisor Donald Fortier. He has been sidelined since May with cancer and is now undergoing chemotherapy. This was August, and he died right after this article was written. And the prognosis for him was poor. He got sick very quickly. Then the article says another well-known official on the short list for acting Deputy Director of NSC is Alton Keel, a former official of the OMB, an aide to former Texas Senator John Tower. Keel was the liaison of the NSC to William Rogers while he investigated the Challenger. William Rogers is law partner to William Casey. And Keel, the liaison, was the former aide to Senator John Tower, who's now been hired to investigate the National Security Council. And the article said, Mr. Keel served as executive director of the Rogers Commission, and Rogers is the law partner of William Casey, which investigated the Challenger shuttle disaster. So the Western Goals and North and Tsinglaub, I believe, and the NSC goes directly to the downing of the Korean airline for military purposes and for getting rid of Larry McDonald at the same time. And the White House NSC, with William Rogers and Mr. Keel and Mr. Fortier's quick demise of 3 months and the removing of Mr. Matlock, and I have about 10 other articles of shiftings of jobs in the NSC, but I think you get the idea that something was happening there. The article concludes the NSC has been getting by with two Poindexter aides, and keep in mind Poindexter of disinformation in Libya and all the various things, he quickly resigned last week. They get by, this is August 86, with two aides filling in during Mr. Fortier's illness, and as I say, he would be dead a week after this. They are Peter Rodman, former aide to former Secretary of State Henry Kissinger, now in charge of policy planning in the NSC, and Ronnie McDaniel, a former Navy captain who is executive secretary of the NSC staff. Now, besides Mr. Tower investigating the National Security Council for Ronald Reagan, he has Mr. Scowcroft as those are two of the three-member team. Scowcroft is vice president on the board of Kissinger Associates, and Peter Rodman took Fortier's place, and he was an aide to former Secretary of State Henry Kissinger, and the National Security Council, this special operations that Henry Kissinger set up, this supersedes me, this secret team. And hopefully next week or the week after, I'm going back to Kissinger and Haig and Fritz Kramer and the National Security and chart out these names and people with Tower and their aides. And John Lehman was part of the Kissinger Associates and so forth, close to him. And Lehman's part of the Northrop organization that works with Khashoggi. What you have here in the news these last months are the breakdown of certain people replacing other people and all working as a very, very close team that has affected our elections for a long, long time. Now, there is one other death that I want to continue along the line of those that have been killed. His name is Adler Barry Seal. He was gunned down in Louisiana. He was murdered in Baton Rouge February the 19th. He's a primary witness, or would have been, to the narcotics traffic of the Contras into the United States, and worked with persons in the intelligence community, the drug enforcement. I can't do justice to his story except to tell you that it would take hours, and I will detail it, I promise. I won't put that off next week, and we will add up each week or days how often people are killed, how many offices are broken into. They're desperately trying to keep the lid on this story. This happened after Watergate. There were 30 deaths, murders, within a year or two immediately after the Watergate arrest that I wrote about, and they're interesting to see how each of these fell. This is Mae Brussel. I'll be back with you next week to continue along these lines, and for those of you who I won't be contacting between now, Christmas and Hanukkah, have really good holidays, and we'll be back together to follow these inquiries wherever they lead in the weeks to come.